Dan, right at the very get-go, there's just something I got to say. There's something I got to get off my chest.
All right, let's have it.
You're a hobbyist. You're a hobbyist. You're a hobbyist. You're a hobbyist. You're a hobbyist.
You're a hobbyist.
You're a hobbyist.
Well, I know I am. What? I know you are, but what am I?
You are a GFY certified hobbyist.
And you're just a hobbyist.
Okay, I'm glad I got that off my chest. It was brought to our attention. We had gone
slacking.
We went two consecutive episodes without saying the word of the year.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
Hopefully we made up for slacking on the past two episodes. We got this one covered, and maybe now we're good for one or two.
Yes. We've reestablished the word of the year and our jingle and the joy that it brings to all of our lives.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're not like making it a big deal about complaining about that we forgot about it, that it was brought to our attention. We love the fact that it was brought to our attention because that shows that people are paying attention.
Yes.
And they notice it. So
yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Well, and you know, just sometimes I think if we slip it in to our banter, it kind of appears gratuitous.
Yes.
Kind of like the way this episode just started.
Yeah.
You're going to break that jingle button if we say it too often.
The jingle is going to be down for repairs here next week.
Have to take it to the jingle shop and get it fixed. I hope that the jingle repair person is a professional and not someone that just does it, you know, as a hobby.
Yes, that would be terrible.
Yeah, it would be. All right. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Woodhounds podcast. My name is Joe. I am a YouTube personality known as Ohio Woodburner. And my hobbyist friend to my left here is
Dan from Back 40 Firewood. Also, YouTube personality, social media content creator, firewood hobbyist.
Yes. All right. So when you say that, YouTube, so I'm on Facebook also, but you have this last year, and I had recognized your prowess on social media in previous episodes. You have really kicked it into gear, Dan, and you are far beyond just YouTube, where I'm heavily into YouTube. I have a small presence on Facebook, not like you though. And then you're also on TikTok and LMNOP or whatever all those other those other social media platforms are. And you have really gotten a large presence. You have secured a lot of followers, a lot of repeat visitors, a lot of views. And I don't know. Maybe if you can have a patch for your hobby, you know, maybe I could get a patch as a sole proprietor for my firewood delivery service. But that is what your social media presence is, kinda, isn't it? You do it all by yourself. You're a sole proprietor.
Yes, I am. And yes, it has grown. I was just looking the other day. If I don't count my crossover followers between the three main platforms I'm on, I have now passed 226,000 followers.
No kidding.
Combined. If you take YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and add them all together. So that is the audience.
Wow.
It's kind of big.
That is. And you're not really, well, I guess there are some videos, kind of like your YouTube videos are long form, you know, like longer than 5 minutes long.
Yes.
And are you filming specific videos for Facebook, a specific one for TikTok, or are you just changing formats, you know, cutting them down to size and then posting them like that?
I actually do both. I will take segments of what I post to YouTube, re-edit, reformat, and use it on the other platforms. And yeah. I'll also film specifically for platform specific, you know, either Facebook or YouTube or TikTok. So yeah, I do both.
Uh-huh. I am not on TikTok. There's probably no reason for me to not be. I don't know. I am. So the computer thing and social media, it's not my strength. I'm not a dunce or anything, but it's not my strength. But that, I think you have a very strong grasp of all that and all of the, you know, the process to get stuff posted and all. And you could probably attest for the number of questions you fielded from me, really just about Facebook, which I find super confusing. I just cannot figure out their dashboard, and it's about as complicated could get. Quite the opposite of YouTube, which I find to be very easy. All of their reports, and you know, you can find anything you want relatively easy, and it's just the opposite for Facebook for me.
Yeah, and the one thing that also comes into play is that depending on the platform, they are different audiences. So you have to keep that in mind as well when you are creating content. And, you know, like an 8-minute video is perfect for YouTube, but it would completely flop on Facebook, and it won't even be anything worth people watching on TikTok.
Yeah, it seems that TikTok has a much lower attention span.
Yes.
You know, people just want like a real brief something that quickly gets attention, holds it for about 15 seconds, and then it's gone.
That is correct.
The dynamic between YouTube and Facebook, I think I can speak to that. Maybe not eloquently, but it seems that on YouTube that you have a more loyal, engaged audience, that they like you, they like me, they want to, they like to participate, and they're along for the ride.
Yes. Part of the crew. They're part of the family almost.
Yeah, I feel that. And I think a lot of people, you know, feel that too. I just get that from the engagement with the comments, the people that stop and visit me at my wood yard. It's a very real relationship. The Facebook thing, though, it is like the crowd is more cynical, and that they're standing in judgment of you. They're rooting against you.
Yep. That's what I mean by the different audiences. It's completely different.
I think if you have, if you don't have problems with people mocking you and your existence on Earth, I think it would benefit you to film like all of the stuff that you would cut out of a YouTube video, that you should just put that on the Facebook and just show how you can't get your saw started. Or you had a tree lean back and pinch your bar, or just anything that could possibly go wrong. People on Facebook would just love that. Yes. So that they could mock you and make it clear that they would have done it differently. They would have done it the opposite.
And that's exactly what I mean by the different audiences and knowing like how to tap into that and what to use and where to use it. It's all like a lot of people will look at social media and just think of it, you know, as something you're just doing to do it. But there's a strategy with everything that it takes time to like study and figure out and know what to do, when to do it.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, Dan, that it comes down to ultimately the goal of the, I guess what would you call it? The content creator.
Yes. Yep.
So yep. There are a lot of people out there that genuinely are passionate about what they're doing, and they just want to share it with the world. I think everyone that does it does have an interest though in growing their channel and all, but that may not be the ultimate motivation for someone, you know, about, and I'm talking about making money. Then there are those, you know, and I also think too that people can get into it with that type of attitude, but then they get a taste of it and they want to grow and make more money.
Yes.
Because this is, you know, it becomes a job. It is an income source. And that should not be frowned upon, because we are all, you know, we participate in the private industry in the private markets to generate income. So, you know, you could sell widgets, or you could be a social media influencer. But, you know, then there's people too that are just, they just want to make money and that's it. They could care less what they put up. they just want to make money. There's like that continuum there, you know, between those extremes.
Yes. And it's a wide gap, and it's one that can also steer you in, you know, the wrong directions. Cause if you're only trying to make content for monetary gain, you're probably going to end up failing and not liking it at all. You know, it's if you set your expectations on making money, because you can put in a lot of work and not get very much out of it.
Yeah, I see that being the case. And I think so too, especially like on YouTube. I think people can tell if you're a phony, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you're not. And I think that comes through. But I think the opposite's true too. What I don't like are people that are posting content and then they're acting like, I'm not doing this for the money. But at the same time, they're taking super chats. They're monetized their channel as much as they possibly can, you know? I'm dubious of people like that.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of, and I mean, I don't want to get into like all the behind the scenes stuff that goes on with, you know, content creation and whatnot, but a lot of things people don't understand is the fact that they will look at some channels and say, that guy or that person or that girl, they answer every single comment, and they are totally in this just for their audience. But answering comments adds to the engagement that helps them. So really, is the creator doing it for themselves or doing it to actually engage their audience? You know, there's a lot that goes into that.
Well, I feel like you're talking to me there, Dan, because I have a reputation where I answer almost all my comments, especially on the day of or the day after I post the video. When I get behind, though, or like the comments that come in after a video has been up for a while. But that is, I think a lot of it is too because of the way your dashboard shows comments, you know? Right. And like if a comment comes in like 3 or 4 or 5 days later, they kind of get pushed down and then you miss them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have no problem at all in saying that, you know, the money, heck yeah. All right. It's important. It's not the end of the world for me. But I'm also the kind of person that says, if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. And, if posting videos eventually becomes tedious for me and I just don't feel like I'm having fun doing it anymore, I'll just find something else to do to make ends meet, to put gas in the gas tank and Dr. Pepper in my refrigerator. But
And that could probably be said too about the selling firewood as a hobby. You know, it's the same thing. It's like flipping. It's like these two go kind of hand in hand. A lot of people sell firewood as a hobby on the side.
Yep.
And, you know, if that gets to a point where it's becoming more work than it's worth, look for something else maybe.
Yeah. And I remember we had this discussion a while back when you asked me, Joe, are you a firewood delivery service or are you a YouTube channel? And that's where I think that maybe my profession is firewood and my hobby is YouTube. You know? Ooh, maybe that's what it is. So I am not doing I want to make this come off the right way. But why do we have to be so delicate about saying that we enjoy making money with YouTube? It would not be any different than if you work full time as an auto mechanic or a doctor, you know? What the heck? We are all participating in a capitalistic society, and this is a choice that we're making for income. So, you know, it's not like we're selling illegal drugs on the on the street corner here. You know, we're providing a value to people that and people enjoy it. So, yep. I'll never apologize for doing that. But what I'm thinking though is, if it is a job, and then for instance, you're doing very good at this, but you are also a sole proprietor. You're doing it all by yourself. Is there only so much that you eventually can do with that? Or like with my firewood business, is there only so much firewood that I can sell all by myself? And then you're at a crossroads. Will you either hire help or just plateau there or get bored with it and move on to something else?
That's kind of where my mindset has been. I question, am I trying to do too much? And is that hurting me because I now have too many irons in the fire? I can't focus on some of the things I want to, but yet I still need to, you know, do everything. Like I have to film, I have to edit, I have to publish, I have to maintain my website. And then the filming, editing and publishing is across three different platforms. And yeah, it gets to a point where you wonder, you know, should I find something I can maybe outsource to somebody else, like start a team, build a team to like start helping do some of the tasks that I need to do.
And you have to do all that while holding down full-time employment.
That is correct. That's the other part of it. That's the big part.
And that's the irony of us, you know, teasing you about that H word is, you know, people want to act like that diminishes what you do and that, you know, you lack credibility. And I see it quite the opposite. You're doing it and you are maintaining full-time employment without getting in trouble from your boss.
Yes. Evenings and weekends are full.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I think keeping in that, you know, when people think about the money and trying to do social media for money, like you want to start out, you don't want to just, I wouldn't advise going all in right off the bat. I would keep it as an evenings and weekends side hustle because it fluctuates a lot and it takes a lot to build it and profit.
Yeah. And I use you personally as a barometer because I kind of get the sense what you do when we talk during the week, when we plan for the Woodhounds podcast, which is posted every Wednesday morning on your favorite streaming service. But I don't know if to me, I would enjoy that. I think that I like my channel. I like what I do. I have a blast doing it. But if I were to try to ramp things up and try to grow it and make even more money with it, I don't know if it would be worth it. And I don't know if I would enjoy that.
And that's your channel, right? That's what you're talking about? Yeah. So what about then the flip side of your firewood business?
So I think that the exact same thing can happen. I have on a number of occasions kicked around the idea of hiring someone. In fact, I had a conversation about a month ago with a very serious person who would be someone I could bring on board, not necessarily full-time, but steady hours, and which would allow me to open up my wood yard to the public, you know?
Mm,
yeah. But, you know, so here I'm going to be honest. I just made a delivery yesterday to a retail location. It's owned by this gentleman, and I was unloading out in the loading dock, and one of his employees come in, and I don't know if he came in late, but these two got into it was awkward. They got into an argument. Ooh. And I was thinking, if I were the boss, I'd never talk to an employee like that. That was my first reaction. My other reaction was, if I was an employee, what position would you be in? Well, you know, what position would you have put yourself into to take that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awkward and I did not enjoy that. It was making me think, you know, oh, if I'm going to hire someone, you know, I used to work, and probably a lot of people out there know what I'm going to say here. When you show up for work in the morning and then there's that one car out there in the parking lot, that one coworker, you know, that's just, it just ruins you know, your entire existence while you're there. And I don't have that problem right now at Ohio Woodburner.
No, you don't. Well, the one thing that I was given some advice on is when you do start out doing everything yourself, whether it in, you know, your example is firewood business, my example of content creation, when you do everything yourself, if you get to the point of bringing someone else on, you know what it takes to do that role that you're asking them to do. So you'll be able to tell right away.
Yeah.
If that person's a good fit or not.
So are you telling me that you would consider hiring a, I don't know, who would you hire? I mean, a lot of these high school kids got more computer skills than you and me will ever have, you know, or hiring a someone out of college or someone that's just good with editing. Are you talking about like that?
Sort of, yes. My main area right now that I'd be looking for like help with would be like in the marketing and my website. So like someone to, you know, put together like email campaigns, update my website, just stuff like that, like little things, you know, designing my packaging for my mini firewood, just little things that to me take a lot of time that I get too scatterbrained on. I got too many irons in the fire, you know?
Yeah.
So just stuff like that.
I know who I can refer you to. I get about 20 emails a day from people telling me that my SEO should be improved on my website.
Well, I get all those as well. I get all those emails as well.
Yeah. And they have the special techniques to improve it.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's where I hit the roadblock, because I'm afraid of, number one, can I trust someone, you know, in my case, that would be like virtual, like we would never probably meet face to face. And then secondly, would they do as good a job as I want them to? And if they aren't doing as good of a job, I think it'd be harder to fire someone than hire someone.
I think that's where the 1099 employee relationship comes, or they're a contractor, you know.
Yep.
I think aren't there like businesses out there for social media influencers that you can hire to do stuff for you?
Yes, there are. But again,
and that's a contractual relationship.
Yes.
Not like you're an employee.
No. But there again, you know, would someone that's been working on like a social media manager working with clients in real estate, would they know how to be in touch with the firewood community? Would they know enough, you know, to put together things that relate to your audience? Like that's the big like hurdle, like finding people that know how to connect with your audience the way you do and, you know, do what you want them to do so you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, I've been thinking this over for a long time.
And do you think that you've hit the wall or hit the ceiling or whatever you hit with your ability to keep growing?
No, I don't think I have. I just am always conscious of the fact, like, am I missing out on potential growth or opportunities by, you know, not having someone helping me in this area and, you know, not having someone, for instance, working on an email marketing campaign for my mini firewood that would then increase sales, you know, am I missing out on sales there because I don't have that? Mm-hmm. So that's all I think about.
I had spoken about this in a previous episode about how I make money selling firewood. And, you know, the refrain is, if you want to make more money selling firewood, you just make more firewood because you're going to wind up selling it. But I had posed the statement that I want to sell less firewood. And someone made a comment and they said, yeah, but, you know, you can still have a high margin, but just make more that you can sell more. And I says, in theory, yes, but I'm a sole proprietor and there's only so much I can do. And I think that maybe I'm at my top end on how much I can produce in a year. And as a sole proprietor. So that would make me think, well, if I want to grow, I think maybe maybe now I'm at a point where I should hire someone, which is I've been putting this off as long as I can. But I also think too that I need to start putting my wood yard into service where the yard itself can generate income, by being open to the public, which I'm avoiding that as much as I possibly can. I think it's just, when you see of all the people that are out there, I would like to hire someone who I kind of knew, someone who I kind of know, who's kind of retired, but I don't need another, old guy with a bad back. Cause I got me, I already got one of those.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you want to get someone young, but then, you got to deal with cars and, deliveries. And I worry about people getting hurt and all, and it's kind of scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you have someone young with not that much experience, you have to, onboard them, train them, get them to do things the way you want them to be done. Yeah. It's challenging. But again, like you said, if you're at the point where now to grow, continue growing, that's the next step that maybe needs to be taken.
Yeah. I think I keep telling myself, that this day is near. But then I just keep kicking that can down the road. I remember when I still had my operation here at the house on our acreage, I thought, I'm just going to hire someone. But then I was thinking, well, wait a second, where are they going to go to the bathroom? Do you want a stranger in your house and all this kind of stuff? So I don't know. There's still, that is the unknown part about that. And I think that's one of the things that's been so exciting about this. And I keep repeating, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never had a business before. I've never run one before. I don't know. I just have an idea. There's some skills that I have, that I try to leverage, but I don't even know how to hire someone. I don't know how serious, I don't know how to file workman's compensation, here in Ohio with the state, because Ohio has where you have to use the state. You can't buy a policy off of a private insurer. I don't know how to do payroll or to do paychecks and withhold taxes. I don't know any of that.
Yeah. And those are all things that are part of it that you need to do.
And I think they're important, aren't they?
Yeah, they might be.
Yeah. But see, that's the same thing that you're going to be faced with if you want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I could, like you said, just hire a contract, 1099.
There you go.
But yeah, there's a lot of challenges that come with it. And again, you always come back to, I'll use firewood in this example. You always come back to that, at the end of the day, you think, well, I could have produced more firewood to increase my sales if I would have had someone doing this for me. And then the next day you try to do that and then you get, you don't get behind, but you're just at the same place. You're at the same place you are. It's...
Here's a possible solution. How about you come down here and stack wood for me, and then I'll do some editing and website maintenance for you.
Oh,
problem solved.
I don't know if that'll work out in my favor.
Yeah, I'd love to see your website after I got my hands on it. It would be.
Yeah, it's a good thing to be in, though. It's a good spot to be in,
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's the one thing. I'm not complaining about it. It's just, you sit back and you say, hey, am I actually hurting myself by trying to do everything? And what am I missing out on? Maybe I need to start looking at that.
I don't know. My one friend, he's retired. And I grew up next door to him, and I was kind of like Dennis the Menace, and he was like Mr. Wilson,
Yep.
And I was telling him, because he had a business. That's what he retired from. He was self-employed all this time. He had like two employees. And he said that he, during his business when he was younger, he brought on a second crew, doubled his machineries, and doubled his work load. And he said that he doubled his headaches and cut his income in half. So that's always been in the back of my mind too. You know, when I think I want to hire someone, I think of that argument I heard in the back of that store.
Yep.
You know, and I'm the people person too. I know I would, you know, I'd like to get someone that it's fun to be with and to work with and have an enjoyable time, but and you never know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone like you, I could handle.
Well, I would hope so. But then, you know, you get down to that question of like, what role would that person have, like in your woodyard? Would they be doing the deliveries? Would they be running the processor? And then, you know, you have to work all that stuff out too, because
the answers to all of that is yes, they would.
They would do along everything.
with the expectation that they don't bother me when I'm sitting in my chair watching them. and then I'll lead from example of my previous boss, and then I'll take credit for everything that they do. And no matter what they do and no matter how well they do it, I will find something wrong to comment about. And then I will sap all of the excitement and joy that they have from their job until they go on to somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. Every day, I could easily be a boss. I got it down, man.
Every day they will regret coming to the woodyard.
Yep.
They will get up every morning and say, oh, I don't want to go to work today.
Yeah. And I'll be upset that they expect to be paid.
Oh, gosh. I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have a mandatory company uniforms, but then they have to pay for them.
Yep.
I'll make them, I won't provide PPE or gloves. And then they'll have to drive their own personal vehicle for deliveries, but they can't claim mileage.
Right. Yeah. Put up one of those PPE vending machines where you can buy ear protection and gloves. And then at the end of each day, make them turn them in. And then the next day, buy them again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Of course not. That was,
yes, that's all just jokes. Joking aside.
Yeah. When I think back upon my professional career and the bosses that I had the full spectrum of great bosses and terrible, beyond terrible. I had them all.
I've had a few that weren't so good, but for the most part, I've lucked out with having really good managers and bosses.
My very last boss before this new lifestyle started was my very best one ever.
Yeah. The one you walked away from?
No, the company told me,
get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had options, but they weren't desirable. So that's when Dad asked if I would be willing to take the severance package and keep him out of a nursing home in his final days. So that was the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's have we solved anything here? What are we doing? Am I getting a team, a social media team together? Are you hiring a food yard?
So that's up to you, Dan. You can have, what's the expression? You can have anything in life you want if you're willing to pay for it.
That is correct. And right now, that's the other big factor I probably should have addressed, is I'm not sure I want to split my income and revenue up right now in the hiring and paying, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's just like when the one job that I had, it was a pretty big job. I made a lot of money. But I lived in a hotel room, you know, and I drove all over the United States, and I wanted to be at home with my wife and raise my daughters. I wanted to be a softball coach. And that's what I had found myself. Some people would want more. They would look for a promotion and even a bigger job, but I was kept downsizing and downsizing. I just hated traveling and leaving people behind. And, you know, that was the whole thing too with me when I used to work. I always say, you know, I used to drive 1 hour to work so that I could send an email to a person sitting 10 feet from me. I, you know, I saw this on a meme, I think, on Facebook. You know, why is it that every day we leave the people in this world we love the most to spend all day with the people we don't? I don't know. And that's when this opportunity came up. I think that's why I'm enjoying it so much. And maybe that's why I'm kind of hesitant about hiring and possibly bringing in the wrong person.
Yeah. And sucking all the joy out of it.
Yeah. If I have to work and not have fun, I'll go back and work for the man. You know?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, all right.
Well, Dan, regardless of what your choice is, let us know when it happens.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated. I don't expect anything major to be happening anytime soon. So
yeah.
Don't be sitting there waiting. It's just thoughts that have been on my mind. Like I said, it's been a long time I've been thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, what do you say? We strike up the band and let's go on out and be productive on what's remaining of this day.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of taking the rest of the day off. What's this productive stuff? That's what I want to look for somebody else to do that work.
Yeah, well, that's because I sell firewood for a living. So
yeah. But all right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of The Woodhounds, the number one firewood podcast in the world.
And you can find us on every major streaming service in the world, including our website, thewoodhounds.com.
And if you would be so kind, down at the bottom, there's usually a spot to give us a rating. Click that 5-star. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we would. It does help us be found by others who are searching for quality content like what you're getting with this episode. So, Dan, why don't you stay
safe
and think twice before
hiring someone?
Yes. And have
a great day.